Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, he said, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Notice He tells us this is something we need to remember. People need to remember this. It's amazing how quickly people forget that our God is a God who gives us power to get wealth. And how do I know people forget? Because most of the time people are running around, and of course I'm talking about Christians. They're running around trying to get ahead financially in their own strength, using their own wisdom, using the wisdom of man. A lot of folks are overworked and just flat out burned out because of their trying to get wealth in their own strength. So we got to remember. He says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power." Not just remember the Lord God, but remember this about the Lord God, that it is He who gives you. Turn to somebody and point at him and say, "He's talking to you." I mean, if he's talking to somebody, he might as well be talking to you. Right? You got to take it personally. For he gives you power to get wealth. Doesn't necessarily give us the wealth, but he gives us the power to go get it, that he may establish his covenant. And of course, the word of God is God's covenant to his people. We have a covenant with him. These are covenant promises. That means this has been guaranteed in the blood of Jesus Christ. This promise has been guaranteed in the blood of the Son of God. So we know this word is an everlasting word, and it is guaranteed to work every time we work it in our lives. So God wouldn't give you power to get wealth unless he wanted you wealthy. See, God is a very practical God. He cares about the many natural and practical things concerning your life. And money is something that concerns our life. We need money. We need money to pay our bills. We need money to be able to eat our food and so forth, to be able to enjoy life. We got to be able to have the resources, have the finances to be able to do that. God understands that. God's not ignorant of that. He understands you need money. You need to be able to prosper if you're going to be able to enjoy fully the abundant life that he came to give you. He wants you to enjoy life to the full. Not just to the full, but to the overflowing. He wants you overflowing, because when overflowing starts, that's when ministry starts. When you start overflowing, that's when, bless God, you can be an abundant blessing to others. Rather than trying to scrounge something up and dig something up, we need to be, number one, overflowing with the Spirit. Number two, we need to be overflowing with God's Word. Of course, they go together. We need to be overflowing with Him, so that we can minister the word to others, be a light to others. Not out there just trying in our own strength to be a light for Jesus. Can you say amen? So God's power manifests in some very practical ways. Many times people, in looking for the spectacular, miss the supernatural. When we talk about the power of God and things, many times people think spectacular things. And there are spectacular things that God wants to do and can do through our faith as we yield to his power. But before that, we need to understand also that God's power is so practical that many times we can miss it. We can miss it because we're looking for something spectacular from God. Meanwhile, God's right there. Right there in the supernatural. The thing about the supernatural is that it's very natural. See, it's not just all super. It's very natural. And many times the natural part of the super is a stumbling block to the super. Because the natural is just so common to us that we'll just overlook the super that God is working through it. See, God wants to work through the natural in this life to bring about his purposes in life. God's not always looking to do things contrary to the natural. He wants to work through the natural. He wants to work with natural laws. Now, miracles, they override natural laws. Walking on water, that ain't natural. Right? Multiplying bread and fish and all that, there's nothing natural about that. That is God's power working in the miraculous, overriding natural laws. But that's not all of God's power. Actually, the most common, the one we'll see most often, is the power of God working with natural laws. Remember, who created natural laws to begin with? God. Gravity is a God thing. All right? There's a lot of natural laws, the laws of physics and so forth, that God is the one that created them. So why would he always want to override them? Why does he want to always override his work? No, he just wants to empower us by his Spirit to work with his natural laws so that we have not just natural results, but we have supernatural results in life. He wants us to be getting supernatural results in life. He wants our prosperity to be on a supernatural level. How many people want to prosper supernaturally? All right, then we have to get out of this hyper-spiritual mentality that keeps us always looking for the spectacular. We've got to get over here and recognize God's very practical, and he's looking to work through very natural things to bring about supernatural results in our life. So that's what he wants to teach us tonight. So over here in Luke chapter 14, in verse 28, Jesus said, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" And of course, if he was doing it in the name of Jesus, he'll really get mocked. This Christian was believing God to do this and that, and look, it never happened. How many times have we heard people say, "Well, I knew somebody that was believing for that, and they were a believer, and they were believing, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen. They never got the thing built. It never came to pass in their life." See, a lot of times folks around say, "I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for that." And they're looking for God to do something spectacular and bring it all to pass. But Jesus breaks it down and gets real natural with us. Look what he says. "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost?" Thank God you got to kneel down. And you got to know how to pray. And you got to know how to believe you receive what you're asking for from God. You got to know how to receive something by faith. But then you also got to sit down after you've knelt down. You got to sit down and count the cost. Count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it. That's where this guy got into trouble. The guy that got mocked by everybody because he never got the job finished. Never got it finished. Left it out there half done. He got mocked because, why? He didn't count the costs. Not necessarily because he didn't pray. Not necessarily because he didn't believe. He didn't do some practical, natural things. He didn't sit down and count the costs. He didn't get a real good handle on the thing. Many times, people don't really count the cost before making decisions. A lot of folks just make knee-jerk decisions. You know, you bang them there above or beneath the knee just right, and that knee just jerks. You know, they just react. That's how a lot of folks just react to things in life. Decisions they make in life, they just react. They just react. They react to the circumstances. They react to the immediate conditions. They'll react to the price tag of something. They'll look at the price tag, and they'll have a knee-jerk reaction. And they'll decide right there, we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. But looking at the price of something isn't all there is to counting the cost. Just counting money isn't necessarily counting the cost. People will look at the immediate tangible price of something and miss the intangible power that it would bring them. Intangible power which results in long-term prosperity. Because there are things with a tangible value, things with an intangible value. There are intangible assets and there are intangible assets. And a lot of folks just reacting to the tangible miss the intangible. In business, in the business world, for example, there are three tangible assets. Of course, there's a lot more, but for an example, we got three here. Number one, increased sales, reduced operating costs, and reduced interest costs. Now, all three of those things involve money. You can count that. You can count your sales. You can count your cost, what it's costing you monetarily for this product and how much is coming in. These are all tangible assets, all right? Three intangible assets in the business world would be, for example, higher quality products, improved customer service. See, that's an intangible asset, has an intangible value to it. Better supplier relationships, that has value to it. But again, you can't put a monetary value on that, can you? And yet, if you want to increase in business, if you want your business to increase, you can't just focus in on sales. You can't just focus in on operating costs. You can't just focus in on reduced interest costs. You have to focus in on some intangibles. You got to focus in on the atmosphere in that workplace. You got to focus in on some attitudes in that workplace. You got to focus in on relationships in that workplace and with customers. Are people getting happy? Sure, some money came in, but you got everybody upset that brought money in this month. It's a good chance it might hurt you next month. Right? So you have to take into consideration, you can't just take into consideration the tangible assets, you got to take into consideration the intangible. Because people don't see past the price of something, they end up spending or forfeiting all their intangible capital or intangible resources or intangible wealth. There's an intangible wealth that will ultimately lead to tangible wealth. Wealth that you can touch with your hands and count. But you know, the intangible, and we should just know this being spiritual people, the unseen is always more important than the seen. And as people of faith, we walk by faith and we go by what we do not see more than what we do see. Well, friend, that's the same thing when it comes to prosperity. That's the same thing with getting wealth. That's the same thing when it comes to money. We can't just be looking at the money, at the money, at the money. I got to save my money. I got to save my money. People are forever talking about not doing things to save money. We can't do that. We got to save the money. We can't go there. We got to save the money. And yet, they have nothing to show for it. There is no savings. All these people that are always talking about, we got to save the money. We got to save the money. I'd love to come over to the house and say, show me the money that you've been saving. And most of them, if they have anything, they could probably pull out, they'd probably pull out a piggy bank, no bigger than their child's piggy bank, and break that thing open and show all their life savings. Those folks aren't saving much. There is no saving going on. They're just shifting their weight around. That's all they're doing. They forfeit improving the quality of their life in order to save money. But we have to understand, a quality of life is the very thing that is going to result eventually over time into a tangible asset. It'll actually ultimately bring you into wealth when you are living a quality life. A lot of folks are looking for the quantity stop. Quality is important. Again, going back to sales and the costs of things. Well, you got to come back to the quality of service. You got to talk about the quality of your product. What's the quality of your business? That's important if you're going to increase and experience wealth. So we need to have, as individuals, we need to be living a quality life. And so we need to be looking more at quality than quantity. But most folks don't, because quality is something that's not tangible. They can't count it. And they don't know, therefore, if they really have it. But we need to start recognizing quality, because ultimately, that's what's going to bring about increase of all good things in life, material things. A lot of folks are not really saving anything. They just spend it on something that doesn't increase the quality of their life necessarily, but just fattens their life. Just fattens their life. Things like fast food, ice cream, Starbucks. People get stars in their eyes when you just talk about Starbucks. It's amazing. It doesn't matter how much that is. No, because that's a necessity. I have to have my Starbucks. $5 here, $5 there, $5 there. Got to have my Starbucks. But the point that I'm getting across is that people forfeit, they forfeit improving the quality of their life. God will give them opportunities. There'll be things that will come up in their life, and there'll be divine opportunities, many times completely overlooked because of its price tag. And yet, the very thing that they are reacting to its price tag is the very thing that would increase the quality of their life and ultimately increase their self-worth and net worth. But you see, they miss that because they're reacting to the price tag. I can't do that. But then they will turn around and spend things on other things that are really many times totally unnecessary and actually stupid. They'll do that. I got to have that movie rental. I love some of the, you know, you drive by some of these houses and they're shacks. They're falling apart. They've got furniture out in the yard. They've got toys out in the yard. The kids are probably in their teens now, but you see toddler toys still in the yard. The stone wall is broken down. The little fence, it's broken down. It's a mess. But yet you'll see on the top of that roof something shiny and beautiful. And it says Dish. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. I've driven by these places. My kids go, isn't that terrible, Dad? These poor, poor people. It's such poverty. They're so poor. I said, no, they're not. They're stupid. They're stupid. Look on the roof. Oh, they got to have that. Got to have the Dish. How much is that costing you a month? How much did you spend to get that installed? Had to have it, though. You had to have it. It's amazing. People whine and complain about money, but they got the best phone. You got to have that. You know, it's amazing. It was this young girl. She was a teenager. And if you tried to take the phone from this young person, well, you just couldn't. It'd be devastating. Devastating. Just take the phone away for a little while. It's devastating to some people. They can't be without their phone for a week. But yet the doctor goes there and looks and says, we're going to have to take out your gallbladder. And they go, oh, okay. Really? Yeah, it's going to be serious surgery. We're going to put you on. Okay. And they'll go in there and they'll subject themselves. The doctor goes in there. Takes an organ out of their body. It's a little pain, but I'm okay. So long as I got phony. See, nobody's addicted to their gallbladder. And yet we need that. Right? We need that. But yet we're addicted to the phone, the little cell phone. We're addicted to that, and we don't need that. We don't need that. You don't need that. See, there's a little hesitation there. In this world today, we need it. You'd be surprised how well you do without it. Well, it's sad, but true. So that's why, see, that's what I mean. See, people will look and they'll forfeit things that God's wanting to give them and have them do in life that would enhance the quality of their life, improve their quality of life, thus causing them to increase in intangible blessings, which will ultimately lead them into the wealth, having the money that they need in life. And they'll have more, if we follow God, according to His word, we'll have more than enough of it. More than enough of it concerning finances. More than enough of it. But see, only folks, they're missing it, see? And they're trading in what God's telling them to do for a lot of worthless things in life. People aren't counting the costs. They're not counting the costs. They're counting the money. They're counting how much it costs. They're looking at the price tag, but they're not counting the cost. They're not recognizing the value behind these things. We got to look at the value of things. What's the value behind it? Is God wanting to do something here in my life through this experience or through these things? We got to look at the value of it and not just look at the price tag. Not just look at how much money. And that's counting the cost. That's bringing everything to bear on the situation. Sitting down and recognizing, should we be doing this or should we not be doing this? Based on more than just the price tag. We got to look at all these other things before we make these knee-jerk decisions where we're just reacting to things. Because folks are missing God like crazy. They are missing opportunities. They're missing His power. They're missing His power to be able to get wealth. And how do they get the wealth? By getting more quality living, by getting better relationships, by getting more rest, more peace, more joy. You know, God will lead you to go the easy way many times. He'll lead you to go a way that would cause you to be more rested when you get there. I'm reminded over in the, I believe it's in the book of Numbers. There was a man, the Lord had just finished telling everybody through Moses that on the seventh day, I want everybody to rest. He established the Sabbath rest. Told everybody, I want you all to rest. Work, work, work all week long. Be responsible. Be good at what you do. Work hard, you know. Be diligent. Be faithful. Be committed. Do what you, be responsible. 7 days, I want you all to rest. Don't want you to do a thing. Don't want you going out there gathering sticks to make a fire. I don't want you to be baking cakes. I don't want you doing anything. I want you to rest. Right after he gives this decree, this guy goes out on the seventh day, and he's out there, and the people see him. He's out there gathering sticks on the Sabbath day because he has to have more sticks. We don't have enough sticks. So he's out there trying to get enough sticks that he thinks he needs to be able to survive. The authorities saw it, and they went out there, and they arrested him, brought him before Moses. Moses went before God. God told him, take him and stone him. It was a rebellious thing. God made an example of him. Helped the people to see how serious it was. But notice, what is God wanting to do? Rest. I don't have enough sticks to rest. I can't rest. I got to have more sticks. So he esteemed having more sticks than having more rest. But God knew best. And if you had followed God, you'd have more rest. And when you have more rest, eventually you'll have enough sticks. Same thing with money, sticks and money. It's the same thing. A lot of folks won't rest. They got to get more money. They got to get more sticks. I don't have enough sticks. What God tell you to do? It's not enough. I've got to do more. So a lot of times folks go the hard way, thus reducing the quality of their life because they're not as rested, they're not as joyful, they're not as peaceful, they're not as happy, they're not enjoying life as much. And as a result of that, life is harder from the inside out, making everything harder to get. Because when you're experiencing a hard life on the inside, it makes everything hard on the outside. It makes everything hard on the outside. And folks are making it hard on themselves. Why? They're not sitting down counting the costs. They're just reacting to how many sticks they have. He told us not to gather sticks, but he doesn't understand. We don't have enough sticks in our house. We don't have enough sticks. We have to go get more sticks. If we don't have enough sticks, what's going to happen? We're not going to be able to pay our electric bill. The heat's going to go out. We're not going to be able to cook anything on the stove. We got to get more sticks. God says rest. See, he valued the sticks. People value the money more than the rest. Rest is intangible. Sticks are tangible. So they value the tangible above the intangible. But when it's actually the intangible, it's going to bring about tangible increase. But see, we've got to stop being people that just react. You got to sit down, take in the quality of your life. Consider the cost of things. Consider it all. Consider the work you're doing. Consider it all. Don't just consider, it makes a lot of money. It's a good job. It brings in a lot of money. Why do you look so miserable? I'm worn out.
I can't do it. My knuckles are worn out. Everything's worn out.
You're building a tower that's not going to get finished. You're not stopping and looking and counting the cost here. And are we enjoying what we're doing?
No.
But it makes a lot of money. Okay. It pays the bills. Good, good, good. Stay poor. Keep struggling through life. Because that's exactly where people are. That's where they're going to be. They're never going to walk in the wealth and prosperity God has for them with that kind of limited vision, that kind of mentality. They got to sit down and count the costs on everything. What's this doing to me? How's this helping me in life? You got to count the costs. There's people not in church tonight. They're not in church tonight. Why aren't they in church tonight? They had something more important, more pressing, something they had to do. Yeah, but God said, come to his house, rest. Receive instruction from the, I got to work. I got to this. I got to that. I got to do this. I got to, yeah, something stupid. Something carnal. You got to have more tangible assets. And you're burning yourself out and you're running your life on empty spiritually. You're disconnected from the fellowship of the saints. There's a strength in this place tonight, friend. What do you think all that praising going on was all about? There are impartations of glory. There is impartations of strength during that time of praise and worship. I got news for you. We could have closed shop right there, gone home and say, bless God, I'm stronger. Because I got around some folks that decided they were going to praise the Lord. Oh, I'm too busy for that. Good, good, good. Keep sucking fumes. Just getting enough. Just getting enough. They got enough money. You got enough money this week. I think we're going to have enough. I don't know. We never really have all that we need, but we have sometimes. We just seem to get by. People just ruining themselves. And God gives you power to rest. He gives you the power of the house of God. He gives you the power of praise. He gives you the power of the fellow believers. He gives you the power of a preacher. He gives you the power of the word of God. So you can get wealth. So you can increase. So you can have better. But you're too busy for that. And you need more sticks. You need to have more money. You need to have more money. Keep doing it in your own strength, friend. Keep doing it in your own strength. Don't sit down and take the whole thing into consideration. Take it all into consideration. People make judgmental decisions, judgmental statements. They have judgmental thoughts because they just react to something in the flesh without counting the cost and recognizing what a blessing has been laid out in front of them. But they'll react to some kind of natural thing, usually because of the price tag attached to it. And it's sad. It's so sad. People are spending a lot more of their intangible assets than they know. So many times, God gives us the power to do something that will cost us less time and energy while simultaneously providing us an opportunity to build relationships. But folks don't take the time to consider any of that. They just look at the price and think that's counting the cost. But they're not counting the cost at all, actually. God gives us intangible prosperity, which leads to physical or material prosperity. How about faith? It's intangible. But yet, it's the victory over the world. How many people think they might need some faith? I don't have time for that. I got to go make money. No, you need faith. And you need fellowship. You need good, godly, rich fellowship. You can't be a little isolated demon. You got to have fellowship with other believers, praise God. It's a part of the bread God wants to feed you. It's what he wants to give you to empower your life. Time. Time is an asset. We need time. Thank God will give us time. He'll help us to redeem the time. If we'll follow him, he'll give us these things. Go with me to Proverbs. Here's some examples of intangibles. Proverbs, the third chapter, in verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Now, happiness is intangible, isn't it? Joy is intangible, isn't it? But yet we understand the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you need strength to be able to get wealth. You need strength to be able to prosper in life. If you're weak and you don't have endurance, you're not going to make it. You're not going to be able to be increased. If we follow God, we'd never fall short of strength. If we follow him, he'll keep us full of joy. He'll keep us happy. 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 Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Is that possible? Is anything better than money? Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Here's what she'll do for you, friend. Length of days is in her right hand. And in her left hand, riches and honor. Riches and honor. Where is it? It's in wisdom. How many of you want riches and honor? Yeah, you want wealth. He gives you the power to get wealth. He empowers you with wisdom. He empowers you with wisdom that makes you happy. And these things affect your life in such a way that you become one who lays hold of riches and honor. Not just that, but long life. Hallelujah. Long life. So you can enjoy the riches. Some folks, they work so hard, and they finally get themselves some money. Finally get themselves some money, and then they get sick. And it all goes to the doctor bills. They got money coming in one way, and they got doctor bills going out the other way to the doctor. Got the medical expenses. And they can't even enjoy what they have anyway because their bodies are always bothering them. Thank God for wisdom. It'll make you happy. It'll make you healthy. It'll make you wealthy. Is that what he said? That's exactly what he said. Praise God, an intangible thing like wisdom will bring about tangible wealth. But folks will miss the intangible. They'll miss the intangible because they're so fixated on the tangible, on the money, on the cost, on the price. They'll miss the quality of life. They'll miss the wisdom of God. They'll miss the rest. They'll miss the fellowship. They'll miss the faith. They'll miss a lot of things. They'll overlook all those things because of the money, and yet it's the very things in the intangible that's going to bring about the increase of money. Can you say amen to that? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Notice that righteousness is intangible, but man, it'll keep you alive. It'll deliver you from death. And it's better than all the treasures that come from living a wicked life of unbelief. Unbelief is a wicked thing. Living a wicked life of unbelief, gaining treasures that way, is not the way you and I are to be increasing in life. It's through righteousness, esteeming and exalting righteousness, putting that intangible thing over tangible treasures will cause us to have all kinds of treasure. It'll cause us to live long. We'll escape death, praise God. Death won't be able to touch us. Proverbs chapter 11. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Integrity. So important to have integrity. Lying. Well, I had to lie. If I told him the truth, it would have cost me money. Good. You just cost yourself money and a whole lot more because you lied. You undid your spiritual armor. You took off your belt, the belt of truth. You lied. It's going to cost you. See, you weren't counting the cost. You were just looking at the money. See, if I lie about this, we can make more money. If I lie about this, then we can have more money. See, you're just counting the money. You're not counting the cost. This is going to cost you. Wealth gained by deception will diminish. That's what the Bible says. And it's not the only thing that's going to diminish. Relationships are going to diminish. People trusting you is going to diminish. Things like that that are going to help you to be able to increase in life are going to diminish. But we don't count the cost. We just count how much money we're saving by lying. No, he goes on, verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. Again, people putting money ahead of righteousness, not living a righteous life. And so they might save money, but in the end, they die. They have health problems. They have all kinds of problems, and they die. They didn't count the cost. You got to count the cost before you lie. Because if you counted the cost before you lied, you probably wouldn't lie. If you count the cost before you act perverse, if you count the cost before doing something perverted, doing something that is a lack of integrity, if you'd count the cost, then you wouldn't do it. But fools don't count the cost. They don't count the cost. They just forge right into it because of money and immediate gratification of the flesh. This should not be us. See, we just got to get down and get real because God wants us to get wealthy. He wants to establish his covenant in your life. He wants to increase us. He wants us to be powerful in every area of life. But there's a real practicality to the power of God that we have to understand. We have to count the cost, not just count the money. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. There's more, but we'll stop there. Glory to God. Come on, let's stand up and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. That'll help make you wealthy.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.